planting in the summer.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Okay.
In the summer.
Should you plant trees? Or can you plant trees in the summer? Can we not talk about this before we have the show?
Yes.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and all of America. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah, and you're watching or listening to the Rockwell Farms Garden Show, Two Nuts on a Tree.
Yes. Hey, I tell you what, last week was really exciting. I was so happy to have Sandy here.
It was really good. I'm so glad she flew down here.
Yeah.
She did two shows with us. Mm-hmm. And so how great to have her down. She is just full of wisdom and knowledge about gardening.
Yeah, I don't believe she's only there for 5 years.
I don't either.
We're talking about Sandy from Spring Meadow Nursery.
Proven winter color choice shrubs.
Yeah.
She's so knowledgeable. She knows those plants inside and out. So
she made us look good.
Yeah.
She's
I think the saying is she makes us look bad. She makes the show look good because she was on it. No.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she made the show look good. Yeah.
Well, hey, today we're going to be talking about a few things. The major thing right now is planting in the summer.
Yeah. Hey, what's the title of our show? You remember?
You got to say it.
Dude, don't get grilled more than the hot dogs. Okay, don't get grilled more than the hot dogs. Yeah. Today's show is going to be about shade trees and what shade tree to plant where, how to maintain your shade tree, what to do after its insulation, okay?
Controversial question, can you plant in the heat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to address all those today.
Wonderful.
I think it'd be pretty good.
Well, hey, why don't we first get into time to apply?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Time to apply. This is the part of the show when we tell you what you should be applying to your garden, landscape, or home right now. And so, Mark, why don't you take over on...
The timeline is kind of like the third week of June here, and we just got into 90-degree temperature, so now it's time to apply your high-yield 2,4-D.
This is great.
Yep, high-yield 2,4-D is inexpensive compared to other herbicides, and it will kill your weeds without killing your grass. So we are now into the temperatures to where high-yield 2,4-D will work, and we highly, highly, highly recommend that you use a spreader sticker with it.
Definitely.
Yeah, what a spreader sticker does is that it's a non-ionic surfactant, and what it does... It spreads the chemical on the blade of the grass or the weed to combat the grass, the glossiness of the wax that's on the leaf. Okay,
yes.
If that makes sense, and it sticks to it and makes it last longer through rain, through rain and so forth. So next one we have triclopyr. I like triclopyr.
Yeah, me too. I have used that. Just
it's multi-use.
Yep.
You can use this to kill Bermuda grass that is in the coming into the fescue. We talked about that the other day.
And poison ivy. I've just recently used that on poison ivy. Had growing up. That's wonderful.
And small shrubs.
Yep.
Okay, so if you have a problem with, I don't know, some of the weeds would be woody weeds. Uh-huh. So get rid of woody weeds, small weeds, poison ivy, which is very hard.
Yes.
Yeah. And Bermuda grass. And so... Yeah, triclopyr is a very good product. And what do you have next here? Oh, triple action. Oh, this is great because you can spray this on your garden without thinking.
Absolutely. You can hook this up to your hose. This is awesome. Hooks up to the hose. You can spray this all throughout your garden and in your landscape. I've even used this on houseplants indoors. But this is going to get rid of a whole bunch of different things that are really loving this heat and humidity.
Pretty much gets rid of
in the
everything.
Garden right now.
Yeah.
So.
And it works good on powdery mildew and black spot.
It sure does.
So it's kind of like you're all in one.
Yeah, it's a miticide, fungicide, and insecticide. Yeah. Three in one. Really easy to use and foolproof, really. You can use this up to the day of harvest as well.
Yeah.
So
doesn't taste bad either.
No.
What you got over there?
All right. Right over here, I've got root stimulator. We're going to be getting into this a little bit more.
You're going to use the big word now or later?
Oh, I'll go ahead and
lay it on them. IBA, dude.
Indole butyric acid.
Yeah, you did.
What is it? We'll be going over that. But this is really going to help everything right now with getting planted right now. If you're planting trees or shrubs or flowers, whatever you're doing this time of year. It's going to regulate growth.
Yeah.
It's also going to promote really strong root growth. So that way your plants are getting established. It's really going to help get them through the season while you're planting. So
cool.
Root Simulator. And then we have back here is the 555 by Royal Gold Crown Jewels. This is an all-purpose fertilizer. Really highly recommend using this if you are planting anything right now or you need a revamp in the garden, in your vegetable garden. This is a great one to use. It has 5% calcium in it. But this is such a good all-purpose fertilizer. If you're not sure what you should be using, just go for the all-purpose.
We did that in our garden.
We do.
Our flower garden.
Certainly.
And I tell you what, you know, with the roses, we're not looking all that good, and just really perked it up.
It oh,
good.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that is time to apply.
Yeah.
I always love that music that is yeah, the background.
I think people tune in just for the music.
I think that's what it is. It must be.
You know, we did that in my wife's garden. Mm-hmm. It really perked up the rose bushes.
They're looking. Yeah. I mean, oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice rebound.
I love that product.
Good. Hey, why don't we get into the comment section? The comment section.
Well, I mean, I had one comment.
Okay. What you got?
What will kill Bermuda grass? Too late. Sorry, did it.
Oh, yeah. What will kill Bermuda grass?
Yeah, triclopyr.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
It's
Which
gonna,
one is it?
That one right there.
Yeah.
And the BioAdvanced Bermuda control for lawns from BioAdvanced.
Yeah. That's a hose in spray. I actually like this triclopyr better because this is more multifunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And. Yeah, I think that this is the main ingredient in that BioAdvance.
Oh, you know what? Probably so.
Yeah.
I haven't checked that, but you're probably right.
So you could buy the concentrate right here.
And go ahead and get it done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then if you have any woody weeds, you'll get rid of them also.
Oh, yeah.
Or vines, poison ivy, poison oak,
mm-hmm.
kudzu.
Kudzu. Yeah, that's a big one. Hey, I've got one from Trisha. Mark and Josiah, I'm looking to get a shade tree in my yard, but have a smaller yard. I'm worried about the root system in years to come with my driveway. What tree would best fit for me that would shade the house and give me beautiful fall color?
Greenspire linden.
Greenspire linden. That is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Because it's a great one for front yards. The root system's not going to get big and destructive.
Yeah.
I would say I really like the Sun Valley maple.
Oh, you got that from me.
It's all you know what? I did get that from you, but I'm serious. It has always been a really
a great front yard tree. Yeah, you're right.
It has a beautiful shape. It has reddish orange in the fall.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get that big. So it's not going to overwhelm and take up the whole area and destroy your driveway or your sidewalk. It's a great one to go for.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Okay, next one. This is from Timothy. I have poison ivy. This is why we alluded to this. I have poison ivy growing up in my fence line. I'm always worried about it. I tried different weed killers, but no luck. What can I use to kill it?
So I wonder what I use.
Hey, I just went through this problem, and so I thought this email was pretty important to us. So just went through this problem. I used a triclopyr. How do you say that?
I say triclopyr, but it's actually triclopyr.
Triclopyr.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Well, I just used that and totally eradicated the poison ivy.
It's a great product.
I've got a 19-month-old that's out in the yard that I'm not worried about anymore because of the poison ivy. So I would definitely go for that.
That's a good pick on your part.
Yeah. Thanks.
You did two of our comments and you're saving
the world. I try to keep things together. So the comment section is brought to you by you because we go through, we find your comments, we get your emails. You could go to rockwellfarmsnursery.com and we email us at the show. We answer those on the show and it also gives us content for time to apply, for new content of the show. So we take those serious.
But I wasn't done.
Oh, go ahead. What else you got?
Now, you already said closed it out.
You told me you had one.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, you did. I think so.
I mean, I had one comment.
Rewind it and double check.
I mean, I had one comment. I plant trees in the summer.
The most important question I'm getting right now.
Yeah.
Can you plant trees in the summer?
Jessica, our producer's not laughing. I think she's used to us.
I think the question really is, should you plant trees in the summer.
Okay.
In the summer.
Should you plant trees? Or can you plant trees in the summer? Shut up. This is, it's an infectious disease. Don't laugh at that.
It is summer.
She laughs at when we screw up. Can you plant trees in the summer? How do you plant trees in the summer?
Yep.
And without shimmering.
Without shimmering in the summer.
There you go.
Okay.
So, all right. Let's first talk about after you. All right. You do all of our insulations.
Yeah.
And when you go out, like I said, it's the third week of June. It's 90 degrees. And most people will say, oh, we can't plant trees in the summertime. Well, you know, that's totally incorrect. We plant trees 12 months out of the year. Now, let's tell them why.
Well,
okay, you tell them.
I would like to add on that. There are trees you can plant in the summer, no problem. And there are some trees you can't plant that I wouldn't plant in the summer. And here's where that fine line is. Container or ball and burlap.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say until you rudely interrupted me.
Hey, listen, it's summertime. It's hot outside. I'm sorry.
It's summertime and the weather is fine.
We got a show to do.
Come on, man.
All right. Yeah, but ball and burlap, what I explain to people is container, you have all of those root hairs.
They're actively growing. And all
of the important roots, yep. They're actively growing in the pot. And our pots, we size up a little bit because we want that good root growth and we want the best success for these trees. When you get a ball and burlap, before it is brought to your yard at some point, they go through with the spade that cuts off all of those important fine hair roots that absorb the water, nutrients, and everything. So if you are doing ball and burlap, I recommend fall, winter, and spring.
Early spring. The cutoff would have to be early March.
I highly recommend holding off on ball and burlap. Mm-hmm. Container trees you can actually plant whenever you want.
And see, that B&B is also dependent if you're doing it in the springtime. That's dependent on when the spring hits, actually. All right? So if we have a early summer, you're in trouble because that ball and burlap tree hasn't had time to establish itself.
Now, I would say there are some trees that even container. There's not many, but there are some that do get finicky with the summer heat already.
All right, whether in containers or not, what would that be?
I would say that would probably be dogwood. It would be one of them.
Oh, dogwoods are finicky 12 months out of the year.
They are, and sometimes redbud. The variety of redbud matters, but some of the redbud.
Dogwoods,
as well.
I would plant early spring.
Definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
Early spring, when it's just starting to leaf out. Because when the dogwood's leafing out, it's pushing its leaves out and its root system out. Same time.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, can you agree on that?
I totally agree with that.
All right.
So those are and there's not many that I wouldn't recommend planting in the summer.
What about evergreens?
Evergreens, most.
I'd hold off.
Even in summer?
Yeah, I would.
I disagree.
Oh,
I disagree. I would say.
Can we not talk about this before we have the show?
Yes. There's our disagreements.
Gee, buddy,
we don't want them to see us fighting. Right. So I would say junipers at any point are great to plant in the summer. I've always had great success planting junipers.
What about Colorado blue spruce?
Even in the summer? I would even say yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cedar. Most cedars I have great success planting in the summer.
All right.
I would say maybe the softer ever arborvitaes. Some of them hold off on, wait for a cooler temp to come around and do those. But for the majority, there's a lot of trees you really can plant all year round as long as they're container.
So, yeah, because you're doing landscaping right now, okay? Uh-huh. And you do that all summer long, so that makes sense.
Right.
Okay? So when you're doing a landscape that has evergreen trees and shade trees, ornamental trees and shrubs, okay, the whole nine yards, what do you tell the customer how to take care of those plants? And with the summertime heat, what can they do?
Yeah. So the most important thing is you want to realize that these plants are in a container. And so you want the root system to support the tree. And so the first thing is that indole butric acid. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I said shummer earlier.
You could say IBA.
IBA. Okay.
It's the main ingredient.
That sounds like a condition.
Yeah. I use it in my hair.
But, you know, that's going to promote healthy root growth.
Yeah.
Very healthy root growth.
It's actually the same hormone that the tree uses.
It's also the same hormone that mass growers will use for propagation,
yeah,
for cuttings.
Yeah,
okay,
like in the dip and grow.
Yeah, so it's going to promote fast root growth to help get your tree established. Highly recommend amending your soil. Amending your dirt with soil is what I would say.
So what do you use? You use that?
I use the planting mix.
Royal Gold
by
planting
Royal
mix.
Gold, and I use that for everything we plant.
You've been very happy with that.
Very, very happy
See
with it.
See these plants behind us? That's the Royal Gold planting mix.
Absolutely. So we've started using that in our potting up here at the nursery. So highly recommend amending it with something that's nice and rich and dark and has good water holding capacity. Now, that's important. But also something that can add aeration. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah, you have to have a good balance.
You have to have a good balance, especially here in Northwest Arkansas. We have a lot of clay. And what happens when a hole gets dug is it becomes like a pond. That's what we use.
We call that a hard pan.
Yeah, yes. So basically it becomes like a pond. Clay is what we use to line our ponds with, you know. And so you want to make sure you don't just have it sitting in water.
So when you kind of mix that organic matter, which is in the planting mix by Royal Gold, you mix that with the clay. Therefore, when the water comes through, it goes through our soil of the tree really quick, and then it hits your amended soil, which slows down the water a little bit.
Correct.
But yeah, it lets it penetrate.
Correct.
And then it goes into the clay. That is a much better than the water just sitting there and going into
Yeah, you don't want water just sitting there, especially when it's hot. It's already humid and whatnot. Also, watering. Watering is very important on what time of the day you water. Watering in the morning. Especially through the summer. You don't want to go out in the middle of the day when your plant's already cooking and cover it in water.
So when they're watering, are you talking about just sprinkling water or are you talking about watering in? Explain watering in.
Yeah, so watering in, this is a common question that we're asked. When we mean water in, you want to water deeply, especially through the summer. A deep watering. This could consist of, I always get the question of, well, what does that mean? Well, you're going to give the tree plenty, plenty of water. So you want
drown it.
You want to completely drown it. And that could, I mean, everything changes
until you start seeing water
from
come up.
Water pressure to clay. There's so many different conditions that can change what deep watering means. But essentially, you're just going to drown your tree, you know, and watering through the summer, you want to make sure that you're watering at least once or twice, deep, deep watering a week.
You know, your tree will tell you that it needs water by drooping.
Absolutely. Most all of them will.
It's totally fine for a plant to droop, okay, to wilt. And so when you see that wilting, then you water, and you water deeply. So watering has never gone by time. It always goes by need. And you can take a look at your plant. It will tell you that it needs water. And that's when you just totally drown it whenever you water. Now, you can also take your finger and stick it in the dirt.
Definitely.
And if it's wet on top, you know it's wet on bottom.
Absolutely.
Right?
Now, when you water, you don't want to just water right at the base of the tree either. You want to saturate the ground around it as well. Because what that will do is that will cause the roots to drive where the moisture is. And so you can water right at the base, but it's going to really help if you saturate the whole area around the tree to really promote healthy root growth to the moisture.
All right, so what you do after you get your tree installed, or your plants installed, you water it in, meaning you drown that sucker.
Uh-huh.
And then you use the root stimulator that has indole-butyric acid, which
Definitely.
Is the same hormone that the plant has to stimulate its own roots.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and make sure before both of those that when it's being planted that you are amending with something.
Well, that's a given.
I would say so. I think it is really important for summer planting.
Yeah, for sure.
So mulch, another thing for your newly planted trees is mulch, because you also don't want them going wet, dry. That's really going to help keep the moisture in the ground from evaporation, from it drying out fast, and it's going to beautify that tree as well. And over time, that'll compost and also feed your tree. So it's good all the way
around.
There
you go. All right. Hey, how come you haven't commented about my shirt?
Hey, I really like your shirt.
Yeah. This is my horticultural 4th of July shirt.
This is my summer dad bod shirt. That's why it has a surfer on there.
I can see you
in Arkansas.
The surf shirt.
I could really see you surfing.
It'd be more like the whale.
I know, man.
On the beach side.
Do they make boards that big?
All right. No,
they're still about the shade trees.
Or they do. They're called boats.
Surf on a boat. Yeah. He's boat surfing.
Shade trees, yeah. Man, oh.
Green Spire Linden. I want to start that.
Some of my favorite shade trees right here. You've put together a pretty good list.
Greens, you like it?
Yeah. I sure do. These are top of the line, I think.
Cool. So,
trees that you can be planting if you're trying to get some shade.
Yeah. So that you're not grilled more than the hot dog.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I mean, you know why I have that saying? All right. At 3 o'clock is the hardest part of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It sets at that 3 o'clock sun. That's why I call it the 3 o'clock sun. And so when you get home from work, you're having to go out there and grill the hot dogs, and then that sun's beating down on you while you're grilling the hot dogs for the family.
Yeah.
Everybody grills during the summertime because they don't want to heat up the house.
Yes. Okay? Yeah, sure.
So what you do is that you go out, placement of the tree, you go in your backyard, and at 3 o'clock or whenever you want to grill your hot dogs, you go out there and your shadow will tell you exactly where to plant that tree.
Oh, yeah.
If your shadow points towards the grill, that's where you want to plant the tree.
That's funny.
So, anyway, yeah, we composed a list of shade trees that are really good for you so that you are not grilled more than your hot dogs.
Yeah, the Green Spire Linden. I really like this one. The Green Spire Linden.
You can't kill it.
No, it's very cold hardy and very drought tolerant.
Yeah.
It has really glossy green leaves. It's a beautiful tree, and it grows fast. This one can grow up to 45 foot tall. But it's a very fast grower, a wonderful shade tree.
It's really dense.
It is very dense.
And the cool thing about it, I mean, if you're into it, it blooms in the springtime, even though you don't really see the blooms. They're like really small.
Sure.
But you can smell the blooms. It attracts pollinators and butterflies.
Yeah. It's a good bird tree, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great bird tree.
I like it. So that's a very good tree. Can't kill it.
No.
It's fragrant, actually. You can smell the flowers, but you really can't see them.
But it has larger heart shaped kind of glossy foliage.
Which, women like the leaves.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Yeah, I like the leaves.
Mm.
What are you saying?
Moving on.
Okay. Hey, Brandywine Maple.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into maple a little bit because there's so much variety now. That it's great to find. And now, when we're talking maples, we are talking hardwood maples.
Yes, exactly.
We will not sell the softwood that breaks easily. Right. That's just, we just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But Brandywine Maple.
That was developed by the United States National Arboretum, I believe.
Yeah. It's a cross.
Yeah.
It's a cross between October Glory and Autumn Flame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why it has a really good red color.
Yeah, so it does have that really good red color with a little bit of that purpley, brandy kind of deep red.
Yeah. So it goes to red to that deep purple?
Absolutely. It's a great shade tree, too. So this one is, I would also consider this a great front yard shade tree.
Yeah, it doesn't get too wide.
Right. So it only gets about 20, 25 foot wide, and it's going to get about 35 foot tall at the most. So it's not going to get overwhelmingly
nice
big.
Yeah.
Really great front yard
tree. That would be a good front yard.
Yeah, I think so. Right along with the Sun Valley, which I think we'll get to here later.
I didn't really think about that.
But the Crimson Sunset, let's talk about that one.
All right, now that is, it's not, okay, that's a super cool because that one has the purple leaves, right?
Yeah.
The big problem with purple leaf maples is that during the summertime they would turn
burnt.
Scorched. Yeah, color.
Yeah.
It turned gray from the edges on in.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so the Norway maple, you always had trouble with that, and then they came out with this Crimson Sunset maple, which has the big leaves and they're purple, but yet they don't get burnt during the summertime.
Now, I will say, we started caring this tree, it's been 3 years now.
Yeah.
3 years ago. Before that, it was the Crimson, was it the King?
Yes,
that
yeah, we carried the Crimson King.
But again, the problem...
Always had trouble with it.
Yeah, the leaves would get burned up or something would happen to it. We started carrying this one, and it blew the others out of the water. Now, this is going to be a full-size maple shade tree.
Oh, yeah.
It has that full-on crimson, a kind of ebony purple color in all of the foliage.
Yeah.
And it doesn't burn up in the sun.
Yeah, I like
which
it.
Is the
it's
most a, important
It's a really
part.
Good dramatic contrast to the other trees that you have in your yard.
Right. Now, this will start that crimson color, and then in the fall, this does change to a more kind of maroon red color.
Yeah.
So it does have some pretty good interest.
That's interesting. Okay.
It is very pretty.
You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's different than your neighbor's tree. That's why I like it.
Certainly. Now, Fall Fiesta. Fall Fiesta Sugar Maple. You love this one.
Yeah, because, you know, it's, I like it because it has different colors, orange, gold, red.
Yeah. It's a pretty show-off tree. Now, your sugar maple varieties,
it's like a tri-color.
They're known for having, you know, obviously because they're called sugar maple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are the maples that are known for having higher sugar content and producing syrup.
And we've concentrated here at our nursery, we've concentrated more on the sugar maples than the regular maples. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
I like the sugar maples. They get a lot bigger, or, I mean, 10 foot taller. And they'll hover around 50, maybe sometimes 60 feet.
Much tougher tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Resilient.
Bigger. Yeah. More grandiose.
But the color, I would say the color always shines through.
Yeah.
Because on a sugar maple, you can, usually with all sugar maples, you have a variance of different colors in the same tree.
Yes.
You know, like the Fall Fiesta, you have orange, red, yellow, you know, and still a little bit of green tucked in there in fall.
With your sugar maples, you can always tell it's a sugar maple, too, because it's so grandiose.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like.
Well, a newer variety that came out is a Flash Fire.
Another sugar maple.
Sugar maple. Now, the Flash Fire sugar maple, it will be a nice, beautiful shade tree. Mm-hmm. But this one keeps a little bit more of an orange-reddish tone, which has really stood out in the sugar maple, because most of them have that yellow type, you know?
So it'll go from that deep, glossy green leaf to that orange-yellowy tone.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the sugar maple, I love this one because of obviously the shade, but they all produce so much stinking color.
Yeah.
And the shape of the sugar maples is always just amazing.
You know, honestly,
they do carry a good shape.
You know, if you have your backyard, you could put in two or three sugar maples and pretty much shade your entire backyard.
You know.
Put them on the corner of that, a little bit away from the house, but if you put it, you know, back. One here, and here's your house here.
Yes.
That'll shade your entire house from that western sun quicker than snow.
Oh, certainly, because the maples, they grow incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. It's not like an oak tree. Now, there are some fast-growing oak trees, but it's not like an oak tree. It grows very fast. Usually when people are telling me, hey, I want fall color, and I want shade, and I want a fast-growing tree, I point them right over to the maples, because that's where they're going to get that.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I love the red-orange color.
So,
the red-orange color of that Flash Fire.
What about Legacy? Legacy Sugar Maple.
The one thing I like about the Legacy Sugar Maple is that it's drought-tolerant.
This is true. It's
one hardy tree.
Yes.
You cannot kill... I mean, sometimes in the summertime, we'll have a drought.
Uh-huh.
That Legacy does just fine. That's just for years.
Yeah.
I love the Legacy Sugar Maple. It'll get, once again, 50, 60 foot tall... It's one of the big mama jamas. All your sugar maples are pretty much all big mama jamas. But the nice thing about the Legacy sugar maple is that it's drought tolerant. Now, the color is really good because it has that opulent blend of orange and a rustic red.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I remember a couple years back when you were on the radio show, we had somebody call in on the radio about their sugar maples that they had bought from us 10 years before. And
oh,
the amount of syrup
she,
that they were, the gallons
yep,
and gallons and gallons.
She wanted to harvest the syrup, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
So she had bought some and then for the beauty, and then it turned into her harvesting
exactly
so much syrup.
Yeah.
sap and boiling it down to syrup. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just doing incredible. Her own maple syrup.
Yeah. Amazing. A local homesteader here in Northwest
Arkansas.
You
don't have to live in Vermont to have maple syrup.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. And you can actually tap most of your maples, but your sugar maples, you're going to get the best tasting.
Yeah, most definitely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're called Saccharina. All right, October Glory is number one seller.
Glory is easily and probably my favorite. I know I say it 10 times in a show, but man, the October Glory is so beautiful.
Yeah. It's hard for me to focus when Jessica, our producer, is over there eating a meat stick.
Yeah.
It's really? Stick. Are you serious?
You going to share?
Over there chowing on a meat stick. We're trying to do a show.
Hey, October Glory, I would say that over the years, that has always been our best seller.
Yeah.
Because it is so bright orange in the fall.
Yeah.
And the thing that I most certainly enjoy the most over the color is the durancy of the color. How long the color lasts.
Okay, yes, exactly.
Okay, because the color, it doesn't, you know, it's not just a quick change. I mean, the color on it, when it starts, it's a show all the way up until the last leaf falls. And it is just absolutely beautiful. But it'll be bright orange with a tiny tinge of red in it. And then it has some yellow showing through the middle of it. Mm-hmm. We have a neighbor that has one, and this is the tree that you take pictures in front of in the fall.
Yeah.
Because it is just so beautiful.
It's mostly orange, and they'll have the yellow and a little bit of red.
And it
Would
is
you
a,
agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is a very fast-growing maple tree. If you're not sure what to get, I always recommend just getting a variety of different colors, different shapes of maples.
That way you're not cheating yourself.
No kidding. Yeah. So in the fall, you have a grand show to look at. In fact, we had somebody that planted, there was 30 of these, planted them down their driveway. We had planted all of them, planted all October Glory, and I was able to go back and look at them. They were absolutely beautiful. Huh. I mean, just not.
Did they live in Missouri?
Right
across the line.
Pretty close to Missouri. But just absolutely beautiful. A whole row of these down your driveway in the fall. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Give you that nice southern look.
Yes. Well, the October Glory that gets into the next one is the Red Point.
Isn't that one of your favorite?
It is another one. The Red Point, I would say it grows pretty similar to the October Glory in shape. Mm-hmm. But the Red Point, you remember the older one? It was called Frank's Red Hot.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is basically, it's the same tree.
Yeah.
But this one has just such a great shape, and it's very bright red. You know, we've got the Autumn Blaze, which is a very bright red. Most people know it for that. But I would actually almost say that this Red Point maple is
it grows faster than Autumn Blaze.
A brighter red.
Yeah, it's a bright. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's a brighter red than your Autumn Blaze. And Autumn Blaze is a very, very much a mainstay at nurseries.
Yeah.
And it also, it grows faster than Autumn Blaze. Now, your Autumn Blaze grows 3 foot a year.
Oh, wow.
So, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's a very fast growing one. It's very durable. And that's why I like it. It has that unforgettable seasonal color. It's that fiery glow.
Now we get to the Sun Valley maple.
Yeah, well, hey, I want to talk a little bit about regular sugar maples. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Just flat out, not cultivar. Your native sugar maple. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about a native sugar maple is that it depends on the weather on what color it will be. Some years it's some years it's yellow. More yellow, some years it's more red, some years it's more orange. But it depends on the heat and the how much water and how much heat it had during the summertime to determine what color it's going to be that fall.
Okay, yeah.
So we sell native sugar maples as well.
Well, hey, I want to cover, I know this is a little off topic, but I want to cover a common question that we get on the sugar maples is sometimes when they're planted, the first year that they're planted, they don't always turn the right color. Or they don't always, and this is a common thing, but then the next following fall, they are the correct color that they should be. What is that exactly? I would say a lot of it is that the tree is not established yet.
Yeah,
the root system. And so that's going to change a whole bunch of different things mm-hmm. when the tree is not established right away.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they bought it recently, they're getting here at the nursery, it's getting watered almost every day.
Yes.
So it's getting a lot more water and hasn't suffered a drought or something like that.
Correct.
A drought will affect the hormone content, which affects the color of the tree.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. I can see that. So you don't expect much color out of your sugar.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty common thing if it's not the right color that first fall. And I wouldn't be freaked out by that at all.
No.
Okay.
All right, now you can talk about your Sun Valley.
Okay, Sun Valley. This is the one that I alluded to earlier about a great front yard tree. And years back, Mark would say this, that it's a great front yard tree.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, cool, you know. And then
Seen it now.
I had gone back to a
really?
Job
okay.
that we had planted before
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And seeing it as a great, it is mm-hmm. a great front yard tree.
Yeah, because most people don't want a huge tree in the front yard.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Like I don't think we've ever put a big autumn blaze maple in someone's yard.
Especially in like subdivision. Yeah, it is.
That's a backyard
tree. It is a backyard, yeah. You don't want to cover the beauty of your house
right.
and the rest of your landscape. So
exactly.
typically having something or a few of something smaller in the front yard or upright.
Just a poof of color.
Yeah, something, exactly. So the Sun Valley, it's going to be an orange with some red in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very beautiful tree, but it's not going to get
very big
at all. I would say it tops out about 25, 30 foot tall.
Exactly.
And probably about 15 to 20 foot wide, wouldn't you
Perfect
say?
Perfect front yard tree.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not going to get overwhelming. And also the root system is not going to extend past the width of the tree. On this one, it has a lighter root system, so it can go near roads or in mm-hmm. medians
or driveway.
You know, or retaining walls. It is a really good tree for that.
Yep. Urban Sunset.
Okay.
I like the Urban Sunset.
This is another newer one.
Yeah.
The Urban Sunset. Can I start on this one?
Yeah, go ahead. It's
the Urban Sunset. The Urban Sunset in the fall, it's a little bit different than most trees because the majority of the leaf will turn red.
Yeah.
And then on the outskirts, it's kind of a burgundy, kind of purple color on the outside of the leaf in fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a bicolor in the fall on each individual leaf. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And it has very few seeds. It's almost seedless.
Yes. Yeah. So no,
all the trees that we have mentioned have very few seeds.
Yes.
You get a lot of your seeds from the softwood maples. People don't really know that.
Now, I will say the October Glory does produce some seeds, but the beauty of the tree is mm-hmm. worth it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely worth it all.
Yeah, still not as bad as your silver maple.
No, nothing will ever compete with that. Silver maple, we do not ever, we've never carried them. And we've never recommended.
We would have to dislike you a lot.
We would, yeah. I wouldn't even sell one of those to an enemy. I mean, it's a scrappy yeah. tree, breaks very easily in a thunderstorm. Just nothing you really want in your yard, a silver maple.
But back to the positive side of
yeah.
the show.
Okay.
The Urban Sunset.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It gets about 35 foot tall, 20 foot wide. Yeah, I like it because it's multicolored leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Red to burgundy. What's next? Oh, hey, you want to talk skinny. Yeah, you know
yeah.
when some people some people have a house right next to the other house. This is exactly why we carry the next tree. Because if you have, you know, like let's say there's like less than 20 foot between houses. Seriously, they'll only have 10 foot on space on this yard, 10 foot on that yard, so that's 20 foot. And then
yeah.
you have a window, a bedroom window, where you're undressing.
And then you're right there where your neighbor's window is usually, because
yeah.
it's the same house right there just facing at you.
And you don't want to plant a big shade tree, because then you have limbs going inside your window.
And over and the there. House,
yeah.
and it's dangerous in the future, yeah. So the is that the Armstrong?
Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, Armstrong only gets 15 foot wide, straight up. Boop.
Yeah, it's a nice columnar-shaped mm-hmm. tree and loaded with color in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so that's we carry that one tree for that one. I mean, it's just a skyward shooting slender tree.
Mm-hmm. So now these are all shade trees. Now, Armstrong, you wouldn't think as your typical shade tree, but because of how dense it is, it still provides that good shade.
Well, we planted them before in a row.
Yeah, so if you're needing...
If you have a tight space and you need a row of shade, mm-hmm. boom, that's it.
Absolutely. Because there's a tree and shape for everything. You know, you might have a certain circumstance where you don't have the room for a full-size shade mm-hmm. tree, but you still want to cover that one bedroom up. The Armstrong is great for that, and you get to enjoy the beautiful fall color.
Yeah, now, it goes from soft apricot to orange to red.
Absolutely. Now, what's great about these shade trees and covering or cooling the house mm-hmm. or whatever is because, you know, them being deciduous is important. Because, you know, in the summer, you want them to be shading the heat, but also in the winter, you want them to be not blocking the sun for the heat of the house or for that area, whatever. So it is important to think about those kinds of things when you're thinking of shade. Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah, definitely.
So during the wintertime, your neighbor will be able to see you.
I
didn't think about that part.
In the wintertime,
Maybe put in a narrow evergreen.
Now, it's really great. If you're looking for privacy out of deciduous trees, we try to think of that in, like, landscape design. You know, if their privacy around a pool is different in the summertime than it is the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, because you're not using it during the winter.
Correct, or the grill area. People really aren't using those areas in the winter, so it doesn't really matter as much.
Man, that's a good point.
But privacy from creepy neighbors peering in your window to your bathroom or something, or the shower, that's different. That's obviously you want to go with evergreen for that.
That's
something you use all year round versus a pool or grill spot or patio that you really just use spring and summer.
There you go.
So, things to think about.
I'm thinking about it. Creepy neighbors.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got now? Autumn Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn Blaze, that's been a mainstay here at every nursery forever. I mean, it grows grows 3 foot a year.
Yep.
It has a circular habit instead of an ovate habit.
Uh-huh.
So you get a nice wide shade of it.
Yeah.
It's about 40 feet tall and wide.
And bright red. And holds its color. Excuse me. And holds its color really well.
Yeah. So Autumn Blaze is a very good choice for that. Really, very, you know what's interesting? In a lot of places, especially suburban area, when people build a house, they're only there for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you plant trees early, once you get in the house, you're making money every year that tree grows. Because first thing that a wife says is, where's the shade for my kids?
We do so much work with realtors.
Yeah, they say, ridiculous. Hey, we need some trees in here.
I mean, really, we're in business because of that.
So that Autumn Blaze is the fastest growing. And a lot of people in a suburban area, they only stay in that house for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's average time.
Yeah.
So if you want a big return on your investment, the October Glory and the Autumn Blaze.
Absolutely. They're in the Red Point Maple.
Yep. Very good choices right maple. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about oaks?
Let's get into oaks. This first one, Burr Oak.
I like Burr Oak.
I love Burr Oak because it is a faster grown oak and the bark is cool.
It is a.
Is it not?
It's a magnificent tree.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
And the acorns on it are different too, kind of whirly.
They're huge.
Yes. Yeah.
It has the largest nuts in America.
Two nuts on a tree. All right. Burr Oak, I would say
70 to 80 foot tall.
It does get very big. It is faster growing.
You know what the tallest oak tree is? The live oak.
The live oak.
The live oak will get 200. Over 100 foot tall.
Wow.
Okay? Yep. But you can't grow them here.
Right.
It gets too cold.
Yep.
But that live oak, man, I tell you what, you can plant, you know how people put tree houses in trees? You can plant a whole suburban.
in live oaks.
You have a treehouse there.
Oh,
it's huge. And so the closest thing that we have to that we can plant to the live oak would be that burr oak. And you're right, the nuts on them are cool.
Yeah, the acorns, they kind of look like whirly and frizzly, kind of burry, and I think that's probably why it gets its name. But it does have really interesting bark. The bark is a little bit paler than most oak trees, and it's very, very rigid as well. Just very interesting all-around tree. But the next one is the willow oak. The willow oak.
Well, I want to say one more
okay,
thing.
Okay.
That bur oak is grandiose.
Grandiose. That's the word of the day.
Yeah,
grandiose.
That's the word of the day.
Yeah. So, hey, going into the willow oak though.
Yeah.
The willow oak is absolutely beautiful. It's a little bit more, it starts out a little bit more pyramidal shape, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And then it fills out to be round once it's maturing.
Yep.
But it is so beautiful, and it has these tinier leaves. If you don't like leaf cleanup, I would say that the willow oak is really the tree for you, the shade tree for you.
Yeah, because the leaves blow into your neighbor's yard.
Correct. And it's not a slow-growing oak. It's not fast.
It's fast.
But it's not a slow-growing one either, I would say, don't you?
Well, compared to other oaks, it's a fast-growing oak.
Yeah, and the willow oak, you'll get a little bit of red out of it, kind of darker reds out of it in the fall.
Yeah, and it'll grow big, too, 60 to 80 foot tall.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's not like your typical oak tree where the leaf has that different shape. It's shaped like a willow leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very narrow, and on the tip it'll be lobaceous, but typically it's very much like a willow leaf.
Uh-huh.
Long and narrow and blows you in your neighbor's yard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a key point. Blows you in your neighbor's yard.
Now, oak trees are really, really stinking strong trees. So anybody that knows oak knows that it's a very durable tree.
Hey, you know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Those are white oaks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The willow oak and the bur oak, they're both white oaks. There's two kinds of oaks. There's white oak and there's red oak.
Mm-hmm.
You know the difference? One of the big stark differences, it takes 2 years for a red oak to produce an acorn. It takes only 1 year for a white oak.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's the biggest. And second difference is a white oak will not have, all right, say my hand is a oak leaf.
Sure.
And so each one of my fingers is a lobe.
Uh-huh.
All right? So it comes out, in, out, in, out, in. On a white oak, is smooth on the top of each one of the lobes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On a red oak, you'll have a pin.
Yes, true.
On each one of the lobes.
Like pin oak or northern red oak.
So that's how you could tell the difference between a red oak and a white oak.
But
a white
also
oak will not have the pin.
The color of the inside of the wood is different as well, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like red oak, you know it's a red oak when you cut
it. Red.
Because it's got that red or center in the middle of it.
Red oak makes better firewood.
Yeah, I would say it burns longer and slower, too.
Cuts easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Chops.
Splits easier.
Splits.
Uh-huh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about bur oak. We've talked about willow oak. One that you don't have on here is your pin oak.
Well, that's because I have the nut all on here.
Nut all is pretty similar.
It's a derivative of the pin oak.
I would say, yeah, you know what? I would say the nut all, pin oak, and northern red oak, they're pretty much the same tree.
No.
They're pretty similar, aren't they?
No, they're not. Okay. Now, the nut all and the pin oak are the same type tree.
Okay.
Nut all is a derivative of the pin oak, and I can't remember the difference. I could put them side by side. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference, okay?
Okay.
There is a difference. The nut all is a better oak tree than the pin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that right now I can't remember why.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, your red oak is different because your red oak, your pin oak and your nut all holds its leaves during the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
Nut oak the red oak loses them.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about. Kind of like the sawtooth keeps its leaves through the winter.
And your red oak, the leaves will turn red. They'll be more red than brown.
Sure.
So that's why I like the red oak. And the Shamardy oak is a derivative of the red oak. So I could go either way. You could do the Shamard oak or the regular northern red oak. They'll be the same.
Now, what I would say about the Shamard oak is it does grow faster than your northern red oak.
I think that's why it was developed.
Pin oak.
Okay.
And then I think it also has a little bit better color. Now, the leaf looks almost identical.
Yeah.
So, and the shape of it, you're not going to really notice. But
just
I do think
faster.
The color in the fall and the growth rate is different.
Okay.
Yeah.
It grows faster.
It does grow faster. Much, much faster. I would say much faster.
All right.
Yep. Just a obviously it's slower than the growth of a maple, but it's a lot faster than your typical oak tree that's out there.
All right.
So
cool. I like all of
them. I love Schumard. It's a great one. I think it's a mainstay. A lot of people love that one because it's like when you think of a southern oak tree, but it's, you know, we're a little bit above that southern, really? What you would say southern. I think we're pretty close to that. But, you know, like the live oak would be.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're thinking, a lot of people, they think of the southern shape of a big round oak tree. Yeah. That's the Schumard oak.
I like the bur oak.
Yeah, bur oak's good, but because Schumard is great.
Yeah, but the acorns are so big, you can hit them with the 5-iron.
You can get a golf club out there. So,
all right,
man.
Tulip tree. Let's wrap it up with that.
Tulip
number
tree.
Number one seller. Women love the leaves. Big old yellow bloom.
Now, we're talking tulip poplar, not the tulip like the tulip magnolia.
Right.
Okay.
Tulip poplar.
Tulip poplar.
I call it tulip tree. It's popular.
Yeah, it is popular.
It's a big yellow bloom during the summertime. Waxy leaves. And it's very lobaceous. It's a big leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bright growing. Yellow
yeah.
in the fall. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what people go for is that bright yellow.
My mother-in-law will make a pawpaw climb the tree and get some of those blooms, and she puts it in water.
That's awesome. That
guy.
Is awesome.
He's over 80 years old and can't climb up there.
That's hilarious.
Crazy.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's all of our shade trees that we've wanted to talk about today. I think this was a pretty good little go-through on all of these.
Well, it answers a question that people have. What are good shade trees that will keep me from being grilled more than my hot dog?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why we did this, because a lot of people are coming in right now. They moved here to the area. We're in a suburban area. They moved here to the area, new house, and they can't use the backyard.
Right, because it is hot.
And they don't want to wait till next year.
Right.
So we addressed that you can plant the trees now because they're container grown, right?
Correct, yep.
And we addressed what type of trees to plant where.
And tree care to keep them going just as strong as they would any other time of the year being planted. So awesome.
Whether we present it right or not, I don't know. But it sounded good yesterday.
We'll see. We'll leave that up to our producer.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, thank you for listening to us one more time.
Great.
And leave your comments below and listen to Josiah on where you can find us.
Awesome. Hey, yes, you can find us on most social media platforms. You can also find us on Spotify, Pandora, anywhere you listen to a good podcast. Also, you can comment down below, like Mark was talking about, with your gardening questions if you're on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube and you're on another streaming service, you can go to rockwellfarmsnursery.com and email us at the show. We would love to hear from you. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thank you for joining us, folks. It was great. I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's a good setting, too.
Yeah, well, this is nice out here.
Yeah,
awesome. Good. We'll see you next time.